Anyway, what can we help you with?
Morgan puts their end on the phone and like looks at all the others.
What do I tell them? Do I tell them anything? Do I hang up? It's a newspaper.
Do they know what happened? Do they hear about the child that was possessed? Is that what they're calling?
I'm sorry, what happened with the child?
No. I mean, do we tell them we have poltergeist problem?
See, they're very nice people. It's going to be fine.
Please tell me it's not about the 911 call.
Oh my gosh.
I hope it's not about the 911 call. Or maybe we should ask.
We didn't even know that we didn't kill them.
Right, I feel like
they didn't know about the 911 call until we just said it. We didn't.
Maybe we should tell them to warn Deluxin that, like, there's a real danger about.
Morgan? Just hang up.
Morgan, okay. Azolda's taking the phone.
Perfect, go ahead.
Do you need help? We have an address on file. We can come assist.
I am so sorry. It has been such a day. Hello, it's Azolda speaking. Now, I've spoken to you before, haven't I?
This is Once Upon a Monster of the Week. Reading 10. Where we have more ghosts than people per square mile. Hello, dear listeners. When we last left the Historical Society, they were definitely not about to kidnap a child, though it was debated as one was, in fact, haunted. That being said, we do know that Cece turned into a 7-foot raven to lure out the poltergeist. And Isolde is...
Yeah, Isolde's... coming upstairs to tell them.
You're coming upstairs. You're not leaving
inside the house.
From inside the house.
No.
Okay.
No. I am coming out of the stairs. I'm doing a little shuffle, like a little crouch down, dart out the back door, and I'm coming back around to where you guys are, and I'm gonna look at them, and I just see, like, I feel like Isolde turns and kind of looks over her shoulder, and there's just this giant raven just over the horizon and nods. And,
Was the professor with us?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. Morgan was chatting with the professor.
Yeah, so like, just stares at this gentleman for a second. Hello, I'm sorry, I was attending to something else, and I hate to go so quickly, but, Morgan, Delilah, do you want to come back to deal with what,
Let it finish. Anyway, Professor Arve is like, that's why I chose a mystical creature for the question. It was, because I didn't want them to use, like, the knowledge they actually had about normal animals. So, like, for the hypothesis and prediction questions, you know, yeah, so that's why there were kelpies involved in the exams, but it could have been lions. It would have been the same question. Don't worry, the answers didn't really, we're not really different. Yeah.
That sounds so fascinating, Morgan.
We do need to go, though.
Yeah, we're going. Anyway, that was great seeing you. Will, yeah.
Did you guys hear someone yell really loudly? Where was that?
Just,
Someone yelling.
Probably stubbed her toe or something.
There's been a lot of stuff going around town today.
It's been a strange day in general.
Could just be some kids.
That might have been me. I sort of tend to trip over my own feet and exclaim very loudly when I do so.
We probably need to attend to. Yeah, I would just like slowly be like holding this box and like backing off towards the Vespa. We do need to go catalog all of this for the exhibit. We'd hate to lose anything.
And before supper, I mean, everybody's got... all these young people have lives of their own after work. We need to go. I'll see Azolda's gone.
Lots of things in the lab, too.
The wife and toddler come down the stairs. Excited to see his father, and to no longer be possessed, the child yells, "Daddy!" distracting Charles Harvey long enough to let the others get away.
Does Morgan need to ride on the Vespa?
If Isolde grabs her bicycle and Delilah grabs her Vespa, I guess Morgan just like walks to the Vespa, looks at Delilah uncertain, and like looks at the seat of the Vespa, looks at Delilah, looks at the seat of the Vespa,
Wolfit, get on. Hold on.
Oh, okay, thanks.
I probably like toss Morgan the box.
Yeah. How can you hold a box and?
That's what I mean. I guess Azolda's bicycle has a big basket in the front of it if we want to put it in there.
Yes. Okay. Let's do that instant.
It probably gets, like, tossed to Morgan, and Morgan tosses
it. Does it to Azolda.
Thank you. They get behind Delilah. And, like,
there's no seatbelts. There is no helmets.
I know. It's a Vespa. Like, grabs the side of the Vespa.
Yeah, I, like, peel out at, like, 35, 40 miles at that hour.
So in terms of flying, I think what CC is probably doing, you know, to begin with, just goes straight towards Isolde's house and then realizes, I don't know how long it's going to take them to get there, basically. So does a swoop around until they can see, you know, where the party sort of is, and essentially probably does various zigzags in the sky to keep the poltergeist after them to arrive around the same time. Also, mostly because they don't want to be with the creepy doll alone in this soldier's house.
Fair.
It's too bad, dear listeners, that you cannot see the impressive aerial maneuvering that ensues as Cece endeavors to evade the aggressive ghoul. But despite their best efforts, the Raven on Remnant dogfight pushes Cece to choose between dropping the doll or seeking refuge alone in Isolde's house with Mercy.
I think I'd rather die before I drop the doll, just because that would disappoint Mom.
Oh my...
I've been entrusted with the Barbie. I shall hold on to the Barbie. I'm afraid if I take any more damage after the day I've had, I'll be out forever. So if it's okay, I'll go to Isolde's house early, I guess.
I think it's a fair assumption to say that Isolde's house has some protection up, considering Isolde's many ghostly encounters.
Oh, yeah.
Cece should be safely guarded if she's able to get into Isolde's house.
I mean, is there a chimney or anything that I can fly down?
Oh, there's definitely a chimney, yeah.
Okay, in that case, yeah, as I see the chimney, I'd be shrinking myself down from being a 7-foot raven to being just big enough for the Monty Python boys to still believe that I could hold Barbie in my claws and get down a chimney. And then probably come out of the chimney and sort of like, you know, this weird forward roll of like feathers and talons and legs and bruised arms and things. And the Barbie doll falls out and I'm just sort of flat on the floor and listening and hoping that the poltergeist isn't coming down after me, or that I didn't lose it by, like, going too fast and I got bored. So I don't know if I could hear the poltergeist.
As Cece makes it inside, the poltergeist can be heard slamming into something Isolde has set up for protection. I should talk to her about setting up protection in a couple of other places. Sorry. Cece has not been followed into this chimney.
Okay, great. In which case I'd be looking around for the creepy doll and would have my hand on the Barbie doll, sort of holding it out as if it were a cross and there were vampires, just in case. And I'd find a nice corner to go into and probably honestly become like a little snake around the Barbie doll, but like in the corner.
Oh yeah, then Mercy's probably not going to bother you then.
Okay, great. I'm just quietly wrapped around a Barbie doll in the dustiest corner I can find.
In my head, this whole, like, absolute, like, gong show of a sequence has been set to Barbie Girl by Aqua.
So long as your damn cursed children's shoe cheat tree is, like, nowhere near, we'll be fine.
No, those are in the those are chained up in the basement. Those are
Great. I'm just in a corner of your living room.
Reminder not to go in the basement.
Right, exactly.
As the poltergeist reorients itself, it changes its focus onto the rest of the group as they try to get to Isolde's house.
Sorry! It's good storytelling.
Well, I mean, I'm not driving, right? So there's not a lot of pressure in there.
Yeah, just, but like, I'm driving.
Hanging on to my life.
Is Isolde on her bike?
Yep. With the stuff.
The poltergeist comes down and knocks into the Vespa, causing Delilah to spin out, which hits Isolde's bike, throwing Delilah off. That bike is definitely going to need to be looked at before Isolde can ride it again. It is damaged.
No.
I'm going to make a note of bike broke, sad face.
So as we all tumble down from our respective monture,
the group hears the dark laughter of the poltergeist as it takes off.
Are y'all all right?
A little worse for wear. But now it's gone and made this personal. So, just looking at the bike, just pinching the bridge of her nose, gets it off, like, off the path and everything, kind of just carrying it.
So the poltergeist takes off.
Poltergeist is gone?
Is there any way to get its attention back? To try to get it to follow us?
Unfortunately, the poltergeist is long gone.
Damn. Where's Cece?
So we're not quite at Isolde's house yet. So Isolde's kind of, they took off. They're already there. All is well as far as I've heard. They attempted to get the poltergeist to follow us. That doesn't seem like it went as well, but I'm sure they tried their best.
Yes, you'll have to tell us, like, what happened, because, I mean, we got the box, but then, speaking of the box, like, Morgan,
oh, is the
like,
box okay
in.
After we got here?
Yeah, Morgan zooms in on the box, like, is it fine? Like, they go to grab it.
The group has had a tough day, listeners. I think it is more than generous of me to keep the box safe for them, even if it's just for a second.
Maybe they packaged it a little bit better.
They grab it and like, okay, so why were we going at your house?
Because I think I can trap this poltergeist and get it to stop for the time being.
Yeah, okay,
and
okay.
I can't do it on the go. I need a little bit more wiggle room to do something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I don't. That makes sense. I have a place where like it's kind of easier to do some weird stuff, but I mean you're certainly the expert in like weird stuff.
How
but...
protected is it? Because there was going to be the little matter of getting the thing inside when I have made it so that not much can get in.
It's not very protected, actually.
All right, perfect. And then after we deal with this
little poltergeist, but I'd rather think there's no mess though.
Oh, it's fun. I assure you, that's
there's
a
lot of
concern to me.
There's a lot of fragile thing. Like,
oh
yeah, maybe it's not that good of a place then. Forget that. I did not offer. I did not. No. No.
There's gotta be. Next time. Next time.
Your house.
Yeah,
your house
is
fine. It's just your house. Yes.
We'll get that a little, ghost-proofed for you for next time, since we know that's a concern now. I can do that for you if you'd like.
I mean, there's plenty of empty rooms, I'm sure, at the Historical Society.
Yes, we could attempt it there. I may have to summon it now, and that's a whole other can of worms, but...
As a reminder, Cece is still terrified in Isolde's house.
Yep.
That's okay. I'm just a teeny little snake. I'm just holding my little talisman, and I can wait
Barbie.
For mom.
She's gonna be so proud of me.
I am so curious, dear listeners. How is Mercy handling Cece being in her house?
Mercy, so this is what happened, I think. Is Mercy heard like, boom, 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 like, coming down the chimney. Kind of got up from the upstairs room that she likes to hang out in. And you probably heard maybe, I want to say about 2 minutes later, you heard the little... of the steps, and then a longer jumping noise, mm-hmm. like as it hopped down the stairs, got to maybe like the mm-hmm. third step, and you just hear like a china on china sound of like a shh of Mercy turning her neck to look. She sees a snake.
You should know that my snake fangs okay. are getting longer, but holding still, and I am actively resisting
okay.
adding a rattle
Mercy
for myself.
Mercy sees the snake. And goes,
mm-mm, not now.
And just starts hopping back up. She's not dealing with that.
Mercy just, nope.
Cece feels extraordinarily victorious and settles down as a very, like, contented, vanquishing snake.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so that's what happens. And then I assume that we've kind of taken off back to Isolde's house now?
Yeah, I've probably picked up the Vespa and I'm like puttering along at like 20 miles an hour now.
Just carrying the bicycle, Isolde kind of sets it sadly on the porch, opens the door with a knock. Cece?
How did you get here so fast?
And Cece's... If you open the door, is the fireplace in the room that you would see?
It's off to the left, so you could get a few steps in and see it. See the living room where it is.
You open the door, it's a few steps off to the left. Okay. I'm in a corner in the far left, probably. Okay. In which case, yeah, if you've knocked on the door, if you called my name, Cece unwraps around the Barbie doll, sort of slithers into... Is the kitchen right next to it?
You'd have to kind of go the way I'm... Yeah, we can just say that. It's close enough, the way I was picturing it, that it would work.
Okay. I would slither to whatever room is closest, turn back into myself, what you all anticipate seeing, and come on, be like, hi! I think it's okay, here.
Get everyone inside and close the door.
I don't think it's here.
We saw it.
Didn't the poke? Heard it. And it's here. And I run and I grab the Barbie and I give the Barbie. Got it.
I think it went away.
I thought it did follow you. Me?
It did. I forgot that it might not be able to get through the little bits of protection that I have set up around here. I would have had to invite it in. So that's on me.
No, that is on me. Okay.
It's been a while since I've had to deal with something as testy as this, trust me. So,
you're fast.
Wait, but yes, you could get in. It's
I'm fast. It's not for
the likes of us. It's more for
the dead.
Discontent spirits. They tend to knock on the doors of anyone who they think they can get a reaction out of, and sometimes that tends to be me because I can hear them.
So, since there's like protection and stuff, we're heading to the
We should have dinner.
Reservation site? It's HBS, right?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, we are heading to the HBS.
Yeah,
HBS. Because there's some vulnerable rooms there.
Yes, there should be. I don't see why the town council would have set up protection against ghosts in the Historical Preservation Society. Hopefully.
So a ghost could come to a historical preservation society.
They may be interested in that, yes.
Is Isolde trying to keep the ghost in, out, or both?
Do you think it would keep the ghost in?
We got it inside and then did a little bit of work on it. I don't see why not.
Do we want to keep it inside with all the artifacts?
But not into stuff? Our...
No, not in our rooms.
We don't want it in our rooms.
We could find a little nice place for it.
I mean, we can still use the doll.
We can use the doll, and I can keep it in my office. I'm sure it has to settle down at some point.
So this box that we have right here, like, has maybe journals that are a journal that the Poltergeist was after?
Yes, is there a journal in that box?
Yeah, is there a journal in the box?
Do we have two boxes at Isolde's? Was what we brought to the Historical Preservation Society? And
we stashed one at Isolde's for sure. We had the one that we just brought back. Our third one is at the HPS.
And we're missing one.
We have the bougie-ass Luxtons.
Yeah, we have to go see the Luxtons, that's right.
Okay, so but which is to say, we have only the one box here to look at.
No, we have two boxes, but one doesn't have...
One doesn't have a journal.
Exactly. So Morgan grabs a journal, is like, looks at the others, and like, okay. So are we leaving the box here? But and grabbing a journal with us so we can like attract the poltergeist in the HBS.
Yes, it may even settle down if it knows that we're actually willing to give it what it wants. But it's not after just the journals in the long run, so things may get a little bit more complicated.
It is getting late, and the Preservation Society has already almost mistaken the term preservation to mean kidnapping today.
Maybe we could just give them a call. make sure everything's okay. Maybe poltergeists need to sleep too. I haven't encountered all that many enough to know that, but just make sure everything's okay. And in the morning, we take care of this whole situation.
And in the meantime, we all stay here where it's protected.
Well, I don't have to, because I know that things can be a little unnerving around here. I don't usually like to spring it all on new people all the way, but it didn't seem like I had much choice today.
No. But I mean, it's not like, I mean, we have our own place, right? Well, except maybe Cece, from what I understand.
No. My place is supposed to be this. It's still this place?
The room, yes.
Right?
Yes, of course.
Okay, but first, let's call Luxton and make sure that everything's okay. Because, like, if there's, like, a mess going on over here because we're just like, oh, yeah, let's wait until tomorrow, sure. And, like, they all get killed or whatever.
They might be killed. We should give them a call and we should start going.
Morgan does make a good point. Isn't it maybe a poltergeist thing to be more active at night?
Yeah, can I give them a call?
Give them a call
what's
now.
Your number?
Someone have a newspaper.
There's
their ads are always in the newspaper.
And there's a phone book in Isolde's kitchen.
Okay, cool.
And the doll is not in there. Mercy's not in there, so you can go.
Okay, so.
You have not said that part.
No, this is just Lauren letting you know that if you were to walk in, you'd see it. Yeah, Isolde communicates that there's a landline and a phone book that they're more than welcome to use. Or she can look it up. She can make the call, whatever you guys want to do.
Morgan, you're calling, right?
Yeah.
As our official person who calls people?
Oh, no.
Because what happens? Like, who did you call?
Did you accidentally call the police again?
Unfortunately, in their exhaustion, they call the news bulletin group instead.
I hit, like, the little thing on the phone that disconnects the call and then just starts dialing again.
Delilah might be more... cooler under pressure.
Luxon residents, how can I help you?
Hi, this is the Historical Preservation Society, and we have a box to come grab, and we're wondering if it was okay maybe to come grab it tonight, because there may be something coming after you.
I'm sorry.
It would be good
to... Can you repeat that?
A box to grab from your house. Maybe
yes.
Would it be fine to come tonight? The earliest is the better. Yeah.
No, I think it would be better if you came tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Okay. Is everything all right?
Based on this conversation, I am uncomfortable with you asking me that.
I'm sorry.
And I'm going to hang up the phone now. Thank you.
Ask them if you hear anything outside your door, because there might be something after you, and it's not us, I promise.
Look, I'm very uncomfortable with your question, and if you continue down this path, I will call the cops. We will drop the box off at the front gate at 8 a.m. You're welcome to pick it up at any time after that, but please do not bother our family again.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
They hang up on Morgan.
Sorry.
So, is anyone gonna kill him? What do they say?
Morgan looks very, dejected, I think. Like, well, I don't think they feel like they're in danger. They just think, like, we're weird, or I'm weird, probably. Which, maybe they will, however, be a little bit more,
A little more guard. Careful. I did hear you warning them.
Maybe.
Cece thinks of holding Morgan's hand, but doesn't.
Our historical society is so positive and optimistic sometimes that it seems to brighten the night just a little bit. So the poltergeist does not attack anyone, for now at least. And to be fair, it really did put the Luxtons on guard. I mean, they are an old Reddington family. They understand poltergeists. Morgan, the phone in your hand? It's ringing.
Hello?
Hi, who is this? We just got a call?
You were the people I called before accidentally. This is the residence of Isolde.
Isolda Finnegan.
Isolda Finnegan.
Don't tell them who it is. They don't need to know where we are.
The news bulletin group should know Isolda's number already. I believe she is one of their frequent advertisers. I think she has a weekly ad.
Every week, probably.
You take an ad out in the paper?
Yep. There will be an explanation.
We sell ads?
You do now.
Successfully?
How do you think we're all being paid?
So Isolda, recently it was to rent a room, but has been advertising antiques for sale in the paper, which sometimes she'll include a little reference to the fact the antique is, like, minimally haunted. So she only sells the ones in the paper who she's like, a regular person could handle this level of haunted. Not like the crazy ones that she is dealing with. But yeah, you guys have probably talked to her well, it depends on the timeline if you guys have just taken it over, but.
That is an excellent question. Time in Reddington is such a strange thing. Reddington Standard Time. So at this point, Finn and Barnabas have been working and producing the newspaper for a few weeks. This is right around the time of that fateful poker night we are hearing about occasionally. Listen to their pre-Bloody Mary excitement about working on the paper.
One of us has been responsible for organizing people hiring ads, people getting ads.
I like to think Barnabas has been responsible. Fen is very interested in the antiques and has sort of weaseled their way into the call.
Cool.
Okay,
for sure.
I love this.
Barnabas is on the paperwork side of things, and Fen is interested
Fen's
in
just
the
here.
Antiques.
You know,
just chilling.
I'm helping. Ms. Finnegan, were you calling about an antique, maybe, that you wanted to put an ad for in the paper, or...
Oh, is this a newspaper?
Yeah, we definitely have a name for it.
The Reddington Daily... The Reddington Daily thing.
Oh, no, we're in a tunnel. Anyway, what can we help you with?
Morgan puts their end on the phone and, like, looks at all the others.
What do I tell them? Do I tell them anything? Do I hang up?
It's
a newspaper.
Do they know what happened? Do they hear about the child that was possessed?
No.
Is that what they're calling?
I'm sorry, what happened with the child?
No. I mean, do we tell them we have poltergeist problems?
See, they're very nice people. It's going to be fine.
Please tell me it's not about the 911 call.
Oh my gosh.
I hope it's not about the 911 call. Or maybe we should ask.
We didn't even know that we didn't kill them.
I feel like...
They didn't know about the 911 call until we just said it. We didn't.
Maybe we should tell them to warn Deluxton that, like, there's a real danger about.
Morgan?
Just hang up.
Morgan,
don't
okay.
Tell them
Isolda's taking the phone.
Isolda's taking the phone. Perfect. Go ahead.
Do you need help? We have an address on file. We can come assist.
I am so sorry. It has been such a day. Hello, it's Isolda speaking. Now, I've spoken to you before, haven't I?
Yes, weekly. Barnabas.
Ah,
hi.
Yes. Barnabas, hello. It was a wrong call. We've had a day you certainly wouldn't believe.
Oh, you might be surprised.
Oh, yes. Well, that is kind of the gig around here, I suppose. So I'm so sorry. We don't need any help. And I know that must sound terribly suspicious to you, but you must just have to believe me in this case.
Cece taps Isolda on the shoulder, just goes, we might need help.
I hope it's not overstepping. It sounded pretty chaotic.
Yes, there's four of us here. It's the Historical Preservation Society, actually, and it's our first day on the job, and we haven't the slightest what we're doing, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, Barnabas.
We don't need help from the newspaper, though.
But we don't. I will be calling back to take out another ad very shortly, I'm sure.
But not about the room.
Oh, before you take... I might give you another number to call before you take out that ad, just to get some information on what it is you're selling.
Is it... I'm so sorry. It's Fen.
Fen,
yes.
Yeah, Fen Green. I also work for the paper, and I just, you know, some preliminary... Because your ads are doing great, but we could maybe make them better.
Hi, back to the possessed child. Is there not something we could do to help
you? I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Antics are also exciting, but the possessed child,
no longer possessed, I assure you, and fine.
Yeah.
See, Barnabas,
probably.
No problem at all, right?
For sureies, though?
Probably.
Well, the sort of vector of possession is certainly not on the premises anymore, so...
Is it in the child still?
It's not in the child.
Sorry, what was the...
Goodness, I would not have left a possessed child in... in the care of their parents without letting them know. No, the child is fine.
When you say
maybe the less information we give, well, like, don't. When do we really say... want this getting around the town?
Right.
Sorry, just real quick. When you say vector, is it maybe an item?
The vector is not an item. No, it's a rather pesky little individual that I'm going to have to deal with soon, but not a mortal. Don't worry about it.
Maybe they could put something in the paper like everyone should stay inside until
I would love to put a warning out.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Maybe we can just act like we're all really drunk.
Also,
I've never been drunk in my life.
We've a great if you've got a little creature running around, we've got a great Parks and Recs department. I was just talking to Norman the other day. They handle, like, unicorn problems. I'm sure they could help you with something crawling around.
It isn't crawling. It's flying.
I put the receiver to my shoulder, and I'm like, and what's a vector?
I mean, a vector is just sort of the point of an angle. I think they mean it's something specific.
Are they dealing with a triangle?
Flying, did you say?
As old as you
there's
it
a
as,
lot of things
the,
with wings
the...
that are...
The means of transference is how she's using vector in this case. I'm sorry. She talks like that. That's how she talks.
All
I'm
good.
Sorry, did you say flying? What kind of... I mean, there's a lot of things with wings. There's some things without
wings. No, it doesn't have wings. Yeah, I'm over Isilda's shoulder, sort of talking into the... It doesn't have wings. It can just go, and it can hit you in the head. But it doesn't have wings. And it stays outside of houses... Except it doesn't. It goes into basements and children.
Into children.
Well, and then out of them. It's... You can see Cece starts to shrink a little bit. So that she's a little bit lower than Isilda.
Yeah, I'm just gonna, like, grab the phone and...
Yeah, Isilda just hands it over to Delilah, like... No.
Hi,
like, this cannot be happening.
I do apologize for, my... co-workers. It's been a very long day. We do have this under control, though. We do thank you for your concern, but maybe the less that's said about this, especially in the public, the better. Maybe not at all.
I'm not gonna lie. Like, half of Barnabas's backstory is how badly he wants the town to be warned about threats. He's arguably the worst person. To be this conversation with.
Ben is becoming annoyed because it doesn't seem like there's anything valuable here.
That
no
is
items
true.
To sell. No, they only hopped on this call for the antiques.
They're like, oh, it's just some sort of ghost or something. I'm sure they'll deal with it. That's sort of what everything is around here.
Ben, they really don't have the situation under control. Like, what if somebody gets hurt?
We have
Cece
the situation.
Is nodding violently.
Well, they said the child is no longer possessed, so, like, I think everything's gonna be fine.
But, like, it likes going into other children, too? It goes in and out of children. I don't know what that means, but it can't be good.
The situation will be resolved in about 24 hours at most. No one is gonna get hurt. It's just also, we don't wanna, alarm people, do we? There's only one of it.
24 hours, there probably won't be another newspaper. Well, there might be one more newspaper by then. We are daily, but it's not like we have a website or anything.
Okay. Okay, tell you what, we're gonna...
Barnabas? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why don't you call mm-hmm. back in 24 hours? Just check on everything. In the meantime, Ms. Finnegan, I'm going to give you a number to call in case you have any more antiques to sell, and I'm going to give you a number to call... In case you're looking to hire someone to take care of any sort of supernatural spirits or beasties or anything, I know someone who's a little bit good at that, so...
I just hold the phone out to his little time.
What's wrong with the number I've been calling? I missed something in the turnover.
You know, we're just gonna get a little bit more information about your antiques before we do the sort of, because you're such a valued customer, we're just gonna make sure everything's great on our end. I just wanna get a little bit more info, and then we'll get those ads even better than ever.
As Olga thinks about this for a second, kinda laughs to herself, as though she may have an inkling of what's going on here. I tell you what, when we call back in 24 hours, was it, you said?
Yes, please.
More than happy to. We're going to get it trapped, and then we're going to call you back, and everything will be okay. Then we can discuss this, this second bit of vetting. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Yeah, great.
All perfect. Right. Well, thank you again for your time. We'll be calling back. Sorry to worry you with all of this.
Great.
We were drunk.
Certainly, yeah.
I'm drunk.
Clearly.
Ben, I don't think they're okay.
Barnabas, is everything all right? You sound...
Barnabas, it's gonna be fine.
Ben, I don't think they have us under control. They're trying to
look, I don't want to deal with it, okay? It'll be fine.
Under control, we're going to get it.
We'll call Zoe if it gets down to it, okay?
It's going to be fine.
We were not drunk.
It's going to be fine.
I'm going to take the phone and just hang it up.
We did it.
Oh my god.
This entire time, Barnabas has just been like, why didn't Zoe pick up the phone?
Ben's just like, Zoe will deal with it if it really gets out of hand. He's good at that. But for now, I don't care.
Reddington, a food oasis for all sorts of faces. That's right. It's time for the annual Reddington Food Festival. As always, this festival is the exciting end of our summer season, allowing restaurants from all over town to show off their new fall menus. You can check out the new soup from Canny Bill's, or try the newest apple cider from the Quilted Ghost Brew Pub. All Beans is going to be showing off their mascot's new bean-filled outfit. That's just what a bean Furby needs. More bean clothes. And finally, the Hungarian Man's Diner, our divorced dad's club, will be showing off its new frozen meal line that they can heat right up for you in their restaurants. Join us next week at Maple Maple, Reddington's outdoor dining road, for the Reddington Food Festival.
The phone is just hung up, right? Our terrific phone call. Okay, so Cece at any rate is still about 6 inches shorter than normal and more or less attached to Isilda's shoulder blade. And is just going to start and look around to be like, is someone going to come and get us now?
Oh, no, they're very nice at the newspaper. It'll be fine. We'll call them back. And yes, we can explain it all if need be. And if not, if they don't care to hear it, then I suppose it was a wrong call. Wrong number. That's all there is to it.
Okay.
They're also not going to touch anyone, so you don't have to worry.
It is so clear to me that Cece is 6 inches shorter. How on earth is Morgan explaining this away?
Morgan is just Morgan is a little bit like, very much embarrassed by their ability to speak on the phone. That was like the first hit. The first hit was like, you know, the Lux did that was already very bad, and then afterward, we're like, Isolde just had to kind of grab the phone from them, and they're actually not looking very much at Cece. They're just like,
for what it's worth, I'm crouching behind Isolde, so okay. It could look like, yeah.
Yeah, they're a little bit in their head, like, wow, that was bad. Like,
it was a very bad.
But they'll come out of it and look at, like, Delilah and Isolde, and I guess Cece is behind.
Do we need to make a rule that you just don't answer the phones?
But I need to get better at it. That's the thing, right?
Here, like, I don't know if I could sleep. We could practice phone call etiquette with you. Maybe we could just stay up and s'mores and practice phone calls with each other.
It's just so weird not to be able to see the person you're talking to. Like, you don't usually, you know, like, emotion can get you, like, you have kind of feedback of the person talking to.
Do you know about video chatting? I've seen this. You can see that.
And I'm not starting video chats with, like, the police and, like, the Luxton and newspaper now. No, I don't think I want to make calls into video chats.
We can just ease you into it, maybe.
We could start with snail mail or an email.
Maybe we can call for takeout.
I'm good with email. I'm very good with email.
We could call for takeout. We haven't eaten at all today. You could call and just ask for a pizza and hang up.
How late do all the pizza places close in Reddington?
I guess. Is it open?
Yeah, are they still open?
Is Nihilus's restaurant open?
But we have to make our choices before, though, because, like, if they start asking questions, I know the answers.
Well, there's got to be at least one Chinese restaurant that's open till 11.
Wait, do we, Could you get on your Vespa and maybe just go down and grab? Or, I mean, Ozel, did you have food? I'm really hungry.
Yeah, we don't want to steal Isolde's
food. Do I have food? We can have my food. I have more than enough.
Thank you.
But that doesn't... Really? No, that's not all. I mean, we should pay for
the it. Chinese place is open till like 10:30. We hurry.
We can get them.
Let's do it. Cece is barely containing in a bit of that like lion fur coming down their cheeks.
Please.
They are very hungry.
Am I not supposed to notice that?
I feel that I'm still behind Isolde and Hagi God. Okay.
We're trying not to have Morgan noticing stuff, but if you do stuff like that, I mean...
Maybe you do. I don't know.
Does anyone have eyes on the Barbie doll?
I have it.
You
have it. I have it. It's still in my hand. It was in the other hand while I was calling them, and it was just, like, clutched to my chest. And Isolde just kind of looks at this and was like, I mean, I have better vessels around somewhere, but this seems like what we've committed ourselves to.
At this point, it's fitting.
Yes, that's sort of the kind of day we've had with the feet chewed off and all that sort of thing. So, get ourselves some food. Cece, get you some food. Mm-hmm. And, yes. Morgan, if the call goes wrong, there are no hard feelings, okay? This is...
Okay.
We're going to consider this a safe space.
It's just Chinese food.
This isn't so embarrassing. This is clearly not as high stakes as the 2-3 now other calls, so I feel like I should probably be fine. But thank you.
You're going to be fine.
That.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to be fine.
It's just the only technology I know how to use this as well, so I feel a little obligated to help you out.
Cece is breathing and just says, sparest of ribs, please. I'm going to go sit in the living room. Thank you. And just goes to the living room and sits in a corner, very much maintaining the shape you expect.
Did they say spirits of ribs?
I think they meant spare ribs.
Spare ribs. Okay, sorry. English is hard sometimes. Okay, spare ribs.
Let's give Morgan one last chance to make an excellent phone call today.
Let them have one phone call.
They're probably like on their own phone looking at the internet, looking at the menu, and like stating exactly what they're taking. It's well, so yeah, they're basically like, hello, we'd like to order. Thank you. Click. Oh shit, I forgot to ask like what time it would be ready, and I forgot to ask also like what if there was a delivery and I...
They're going to deliver it.
Should we call them back?
It's fine. They'll deliver it. I have cash, I think.
Did I give the address? I don't remember.
You did.
It's a blank in my head right now. Okay, thanks.
You blacked out and came to and the phone call was done.
No, it's more, it's a blank. You know, you absolutely don't remember what you were
saying. Oh, yeah.
Like,
this is where we end up with, like, the family special for four.
What is the group's order? I know we have the sparest of ribs.
Chow mein, just something simple for Isolde. Yeah.
Fried rice.
Like the twice cooked pork and crab angles.
Does Mercy eat?
If she does, not in front of the guests.
Not in front of the guests. She can't do that with company over. I'm a little tempted to say that she's like gnawing on the bone from the spare ribs, but then that just takes her in a direction that is so upsetting that I'm gonna kibosh that.
Would Cece be gnawing on the spare rib bones?
Cece realizes that Morgan, I think she has caught Morgan looking that way and therefore has settled into, in fact, the feminine, sweet, just too little. You know, everything is fine. I am a normal size. I am very polite. I'm practically using utensils for the spare ribs and napkins on the knee and could not be more normal.
Okay, but how does one use a knife and a fork for spare ribs?
I am very dainty. And you just, you know, you slice it off like a hunter. Smiling.
The point where the normalcy is the worst thing about this.
Are we having a slumber party?
I don't think so. No. No, well, no, no, there's no way Morgan wants to,
sleep in this place?
Impose?
Impose, thank you, impose, yeah. There's no way Morgan wants to impose, and, like, no, they just, like, they probably have to quickly check on some stuff at the lab first, too, so.
Delilah is welcome, but, Delilah is totally welcome, but Isolde is definitely going to have to kind of prep Cece for the room that they have rented, so.
Cece is normal and ready for anything.
Is Delilah staying, just so?
If it's offered, she probably, like, takes the couch and props it in, and it does, like, against the...
Okay, cool.
Just a small conversation, maybe, before Morgan leaves, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, so, they said that they would put the box in front of the fence at, like, 8, so I'm going to be there at, like, 7:30, but probably not in front of the actual house, because I guess they're going to be creeped out. So I'm going to hide somewhere nearby or just be walking around.
I think maybe if we all grab the meet here and walk over as a pleasant group, and then we won't have to hide, and we can just wait as a society for them to bring us the box.
I am not sure we look less weird as a group. And then I stare at the sword and at the cape that Cece had on them, and... Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm gonna be fine. You know, I take walks sometime like a normal person, so it's normal to just walk around.
Cece remembers why she hates Morgan, even though Morgan doesn't know it.
I mean, the fact that there is a poltergeist, Morgan, maybe it's smarter that we do meet up as a group.
Yeah.
And then walk over together, pick the box up, and leave.
Isolde probably would chime in. We just have to be ready, you know? I chalk up the fact that we've had such a pleasant evening to the fact that we are protected here. So, just when we leave, just be on our guard until we get all of this wrapped up. They're not... they're quite persistent.
But they want journals, right?
They want the truth, and I don't quite know how to give it to them yet. But for now, I think the journals will do.
Okay, so I'm gonna leave the journal here, because...
Yes, that's wise. I think that's wise.
Yeah, I think Morgan had picked it up earlier, so yeah, definitely leaving the journal here.
We also shouldn't offer this thing a living host, either.
I wasn't planning on it. I try to...
Yeah, I don't think anybody's...
Yes, but doing this that. One is moving.
Delilah, are you saying that Morgan might be a target? To be a living host?
I mean, aren't all of us a target at this point? We've fucked with this thing enough, messed up its plans. What looks better, another baby or an adult?
But the thing is that I really do need to get to the lab. I really need to make some dilution on these bacteria because they're just gonna grow out of control if I don't. So it'd be real quick. Like, I promise, I have some protection, and like, they just, like, show a little bag. Like,
okay. You don't know what's in. Isolde holds her hand out. What is that? Can I see that, please?
They're just dumb. They're,
What is it? She's gonna be very critical of this. Like, she's gonna give them something better if,
It works sometimes.
Sometimes. I'll give this back to you, but I'm gonna go and get, I'm gonna go get kind of, like, a bag of my own. It's more like a pendant-type protection. And give it to them, and just say,
"Love it.
Let's take this with you. It'll help."
Okay. Thanks. Good. Of course. So, 7:15 tomorrow, so we can walk over there and be there at like 7:45.
We'll see you at 6:30. Like, that's minutes. Fine. Mm-hmm. Just be here at 6:30.
Okay. Cool. I can do 6:30.
I don't feel good about this, so I'm at least gonna escort Morgan.
Really?
Okay. To the Historical Society. I've got a safe space there if we need to keep ourselves away from things.
I don't want you to be like, but if you want to stay here and like chill, like we have a big day, I just don't want you to feel obligated to come with me. Like, I'm not a child, I can defend myself sometimes.
Again, we know this thing will possess people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay, you can come with me then, I guess. Good talk.
And waves to the other. Thank you for the hosting for the night, Isola. See you tomorrow.
Of course, anytime.
Good night.
Cool.
If anything happens, we'll let you know.
Yeah, call us. Just call here.
Cece is very sleepy, now having a good amount of meat, and it's been a big day, and there are wounds.
All right. So, Isolde brings them both to the top of the stairs, and their room is at the end of the hallway.
Okay.
So I want you to know before we go in here that nothing in the room can hurt you.
Cece is very concerned.
Cece, I guarantee it, okay?
This...
And I can clear out any amount of it that you would like. This is just, on the short notice, what it looks like right now.
Okay. Okay, the room is protected?
Cece? The room is protected?
Okay.
Completely.
Okay. Okay. And Cece closes her eyes and puts her hand in Isolde's hand and says, okay, take me.
Okay, we're gonna get... Okay. All right. So Isolde's gonna walk them both very gingerly down the hall, mm-hmm. and opens the door, mm-hmm. kind of looks around to the walls, and I think with Cece's eyes still closed, there. You would hear her say, "Hello, everyone. How are we faring today?"
Cece grabs Isolde's hand.
All right, it's okay. It's okay.
And when they open up their eyes, the skin is a little bit more lizard-like.
And you see...
with sort of tufted horns just in case. And craning the longer neck around. Just in case the slowly evolving velociraptor intimidate whatever doily possessed thing is in there.
Okay, you open your eyes to a room that is wall-to-wall dolls.
They become somehow like armor, and down on the floor armadillo.
Wow, that is impressive as always, Cece. So this is the guest room. And only that shelf over there, you see the four of them.
I sort of go into the room a little bit more. Look up.
Mm-hmm. Only the four of them are sentient. And they don't care to move. And they are completely benevolent and very good friends of mine, I assure you. Everything else in here is currently awaiting a vector. And when they have one, they will likely be out of here. I can move the four of them into the living room for the night. Or you can have the living room for tonight and I will clean it out for you. Because I understand that after the experiences you've had, it might not be... People don't tend to like this room. That's why it's always for rent.
Cece, breathe. Breathe. Sniffing, does she smell anything weird?
Wait. Are you, like, looking for, like, material smells that are weird, or are you looking to smell a ghost?
I think I'm looking to, like, is there the scent of blood in the room?
No.
Basically, are there other dead boarders? Do I smell rotting flesh under the floorboards?
It is a very clean and, above board doll room.
Okay. So Cece likes this and sort of gets herself back into her form and stands up and pulls themselves together and walks to the four dolls and says, "Tell me your names so that we can be friends."
All right. Well.
And then looks back at her mom and then looks back at the dolls and waits.
Just to be clear for our guests, Isolde is not Cece's biological.
No, not at all.
And they did meet
not
today.
Even a little.
All right, okay. There's one named Zara. There's one named Francis. There's one named Emmy. And the last one is named Dale.
Question, are there like any specific type of porcelain dolls?
I might have to think on that one a little bit.
Do they say anything to me or just they say their names?
I think they probably all just say their names really loud in your head.
Ah, okay. That's a little startling. But I'm holding my ground, and I think back extremely hard at them. Cici Stratos. And then I curtsy.
I think they generally receive that well. And Isolde kind of looks between the four of them and Cici and say, "That was very well done. Have you done that before?"
No.
Oh, no. Well, I'm sure that you actually could be good friends then.
Okay.
Okay. And
that'd be nice. Do they have to sleep on the shelf? I mean, should I bring them down? Should they be in the bed?
Oh, no, you don't need to sleep with them in the bed. No.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't recommend that.
What do they do? In bed?
The problem is not along the lines of what they do as much as they like it on the shelf, and they don't have a lot of mobility on their own, and so if you put them in the bed, you will have to carry them back, and they will probably, like, if they know they can talk to you now, they might just be, "No, please put me back on the shelf," and then in the middle of the night, and you might be better off just leaving them.
Cici nods. And starts wondering whether the dolls will be their friend and want to be in their backpack and be carried around a little bit and get on adventures. Cici will talk to them separately on other nights when Isolde's not around.
Oh my god.
Cici has now gotten over.
They're my doll friends now.
Fear conquered.
That was something, huh, dear listeners? Okay. How are Morgan and Delilah faring on their walk home?
Okay, we get out the door, and I reach into my, like, messenger bag, and I, like, pull out this pretty big knife. It's technically a dagger, and I just hand it to Morgan.
Morgan, like, looks a bit startled for a second, but they smile, and they also grab their backpack. Like, second buckets on the left. Grab a ranger knife. Like, kiss a small wink. Like, I got
I mean, I was gonna let you borrow this. It's a little bit more effective than whatever you have in your bag.
What? Wow, that's a lot of assumption.
It's like vaguely glistening, like, magically.
Okay, I mean, yeah, like, okay, it's probably more effective. But do you have another... Okay, yeah, you have the sword.
I'm also going to be driving.
That's a lot of sharp objects to have out for this Vespa to be going. Like, 45, 50? Just throwing that out there as a point of concern.
Crickets.
Crickets, because nobody can hear it.
All right, fuck me, what do I know?
Okay, so we're taking the Vespa. Okay, that's good.
I mean, we need to get to the Historical Society, preferably as fast as possible.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank
you. If anything tries to come out, you... try and just wave it off. I don't expect you to actually hit anything.
I mean, I would contradict you, but, like, knowing my martial skills with sharpened object, when you're not a scalpel, I'm pretty good with scalpel, but scalpel are not, like, good with poltergeists and big monsters in general. By the way, how do you have all that stuff? We haven't really talked a lot, but I mean, gesture towards the house because they haven't left yet. Like, I feel like everybody kind of knows stuff more than I thought everybody knew about.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I found, I bought, some other things from my past, but this is not really the time for that level of my backstory.
Yeah. Okay. No worries.
Yeah.
Ketchup. Yeah.
Get on the Vespa, remember? Hang on.
With all the pointy objects, yeah, good move.
Yeah, I feel, you know, I feel like the knife should remain.
The sword is back in, like, the holster. He has, like, a little back holster.
As they see the Historical Preservation Society down the road, Delilah suddenly feels as if her Vespa has been lifted off the ground and been put into a tree. Morgan's bag has fallen to the ground and is moving across the grass.
Shit. To be fair, in their many adventures, like, outside and, like, going after monsters or something like that, I do think that Morgan has climbed quite a few trees, and even if they're not the athletics types a lot, like, climbing a tree is different than, like, fighting a monster. It's totally different. So, Yeah, so I would think that they're kind of like, oh shit! Oh, my bag! Fudge!
Yeah, there's probably a lot of profanity coming out of Delilah's mouth.
Yeah.
Like, just to insert a whole bunch of censor bleeps here.
Okay, go! Try to climb down. Delilah, you're probably... You look like somebody who can climb, but you're down. I'm sorry for your Vespa. What the fuck happened? Anyway, I'm gonna try to go down the sticking my bag. I like my bag. I need my bag.
I would like to see if I, might have some rope or something in my bag.
And I want to climb down the tree like a monkey.
The rope is what the poltergeist is using to pull Morgan's bag across the grass at this point.
Jesus, Mother Mary. Mm-hmm. So am I just watching Morgan just, crawl down this tree like a squirrel? Yeah.
I'm gonna come back for you if you're not down when I'm down. See, this is gonna be fine.
Knowing everything Morgan does in their spare time, I have to agree, they are definitely good at tree climbing.
Okay, can I rush to the bag?
I mean, I'm probably going really slowly if I'm up four stories. I might be on the taller end, but...
Do we see the poltergeist? Is it visible?
All that can be seen is a rope moving Morgan's bag.
We don't have the journals! We don't! We're gonna grab one maybe tomorrow, and then we can, tell you the truth or whatever you're seeking, but we don't have the journals right now! Why are you coming after us?
She probably see Morgan doing all this. And, she's, half of her legs, hanging off a branch. And she's, trying to hold onto the tree trunk. You want the truth, right? You're not gonna find it in a bag.
She ain't not mine!
And if you want help, maybe we could work to get you that truth if you give us some time. Tell us what you want. More than that. After all, you've already proven you can talk to some of us.
Yeah, and we're literally going after what you're looking for. We're just... gathering everything together. We're not doing the job for you.
We're not trying to hide the truth.
Chill back. Sit back, chill, and we're gonna get that to you. I don't know if poltergeists are, suggestible or anything. I have no... Yeah.
After Delilah starts this rational speech, the bag stops moving. Neither of them can, unfortunately, communicate with the poltergeist. So it just kind of disappears for now. But Delilah is still stuck in a tree.
Okay. Morgan sighs and rushes for the bag, grabs the bag, puts it on her shoulder, looks at Delilah. Okay, I'm gonna come help you. And they start climbing up the tree. And I don't know how exactly this is gonna work out, but I assume that, first or end many times, and okay, step on that branch. Yeah, hold on real tight here. Okay, no, you might want to try that branch for your left foot. Okay, slowly, no rush. We're doing great. It's not going after you, after us anymore.
Yeah, I follow Morgan's directions down. I probably get down to the ground with some scrapes and maybe some leaves in my hair. Probably a branch.
Yay! You did it!
The Vespa is still definitely up in the tree.
I swear, if I have to buy a new one of those, that's going in something worse than a Barbie doll.
Yeah, I wouldn't know how to get that down unless we cut all the branches, but then that would just, make it fall and break.
Well, the newspaper people did say to call them if we needed any help. I'm sure some of them can get something out of the tree.
You think? Why would they have the means to get the freaking Vespa out of the tree?
Well,
that seems like a peculiar set of skills. I'm not sure, a journalist necessarily has.
The wonderful Greeley boys would probably love to climb a tree and get a Vespa out. I'll give them a call in the morning. Okay, let's confirm that Morgan and Delilah do survive the last 50 feet and make it to the Reddington Historical Preservation Society.
I think I'm going to stay here tonight. Screw that. I'm not going home.
I mean, I have a panic room in the stack somewhere, so...
Meh. I've done it before. I don't think it's going to come after us. I have a good feeling about it not coming after us again for today. See you tomorrow. Thank you. Sorry for the Vespa. I kind of feel responsible because... sorry. Are you mad at me?
Ew.
Yeah, a poltergeist put my Vespa in a tree. Not you. I just really don't want to buy another one of those.
Okay, if you have to, I'll help you. Like, I do have a little bit of a salary. And we have a salary with HBS, which we did not ask about.
Do we? It's volunteer work.
Yeah, Cece asked that.
Did we get an answer?
Maybe we have insurance, too?
Oh, yes, the car stuck in a tree insurance.
Well, I mean, technically we were on the job when that happened, I think.
I'm gonna go make some coffee.
I am so exhausted, dear listeners. And it sounds like our own Reddington Historical Preservation Society members have all made it to a lab or a bed safely, and no other murders or poltergeist incidents were going to happen tonight in town. I think I'm going to get a little bit of shut-eye, and maybe you should too. We'll see you soon. Thank you for listening to Once Upon a Monster of the Week. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin, and episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle. A special thanks to Red Griffin for our character art and Algie Todd for producing our episodes. Thank you also to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks to check in on our neighborhood watch group. Until then, you can visit welcometoreddington.com to find links to our Patreon, cast and character bios, and our Reddington tourism shop. But we understand if money is tight, so if you're enjoying the show, we would appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Once Upon a Monster of the Week is part of Haunted Griffin Entertainment. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode starred
Emily C.A. Snyder as Cece Stratos,
Alice Hart as Delilah Fleece,
Lauren Tucker as Isolde and Mercy Finnegan,
Cam Clark as Morgan LaPointe Evans.
And today's guests included
Bezé Rothstein,
Algie Todd,
Wonder Bucius, and
Theo Wambusik.